Mudd-Yaliva, chapter 7, the Lord's tour of South India, and the scene is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the previous chapter, he has entered Puri, came before Lord Jagannath in an ecstatic trance, fell unconscious, was taken to the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, whom Lord Chaitanya delivered from the condition of being an intellectual wrangler to a unalloyed devotee. And after staying in Puri for some time, Lord Chaitanya, on the pretext of going to South India to find his brother Vishwarup, who had taken sannyas and he hadn't seen since childhood, Lord Chaitanya began that South India tour. And the purpose, the real purpose, was to deliver love of God throughout the land. And as Lord Chaitanya was traveling, he had one assistant with him. That was some nice discussion in arranging that. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, just before Lord Chaitanya's departure, appeals to Lord Chaitanya to, in the course of his whole South India tour, do one thing: visit, spend time with Ramananda Roy, and you'll be glad you did. He's super excellent in exchanging, discussing the mellows of devotional service. So Lord Chaitanya agreed. He left, and traveling with him for the first day, on his way to Alalanath, was all the whole entourage of devotees. He spent the night, and then at Alalanath the next morning he left and told everyone to stay behind. And they were devastated, in the mood of separation. And that's where I want to begin reading. Starting with text 79, the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was naturally very beautiful. It was like molten gold dressed in saffron cloth. Indeed, he was most beautiful, for being ornamented with the ecstatic symptoms which caused his hair to stand on end, tears to well from his eyes, and his body to tremble, and perspiration all over. Everyone was astonished to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing and his bodily transformations. Whoever came did not want to return home. Everyone, including children, old men and women, began to dance and chant the holy name of Sri Krishna and Gopal. In this way they all floated in the ocean of love of Godhead. Upon seeing the chanting and dancing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda predicted that later there would be dancing and chanting in every village. Very important verse. This is, they're still in Alalanath. Lord Nityananda dispersed the crowd. Lord Chaitanya left. Although they all fell to the ground unconscious, the Lord did not turn to see them, but proceeded onwards. In separation, The Lord became very perturbed and walked on unhappily. His servant Krishna Das, who was carrying his water pot, followed behind. All the devotees remained there and fasted. But the next day, they all unhappily returned to Jagannath Puri. Almost like a mad lion, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on his tour, filled with ecstatic love, and performed Sankirtan, chanting Krishna's name as follows. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam. Krishna, 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 Pahimam. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Pahimam. You know the translation. Chanting this verse, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, known as Gaurahari, went on his way. As soon as he saw someone, he would request him to chant, Hari, Hari. Whoever heard Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chant, Hari, Hari, also chanted the holy name of Lord Hari and Krishna. In this way, they all followed the Lord, very eager to see him. After some time, the Lord would embrace these people and bid them to return home after investing them with spiritual potency. Being thus empowered, they would return to their villages, always chanting the holy name of Krishna and sometimes laughing, crying, and dancing. These empowered people used to request everyone and anyone, whomever they saw, to chant the holy name of Krishna. In this way, all the villagers would also become devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, simply by seeing such empowered individuals. People from different villages would become like them by the mercy of their glance. When these individuals returned to their villages, they also converted others into devotees. When others came to see them, they were also converted. In this way, all those men went from one village to another. All the people of South India became devotees. Multi-level marketing. Thus, many hundreds of people became Vaishnavas when they passed the Lord on the way and were embraced by him. In whatever village Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed to accept alms, many people came to see him. By the mercy of the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone became a first-class devotee later. They became teachers or spiritual masters and liberated the entire world. In this way, the Lord went to the extreme southern part of India and he converted all the provinces to Vaishnavism. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not manifest his spiritual potencies at Navadvip, but he did manifest them in South India and liberated all the people there. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's empowering of others can be understood by one who is actually a devotee of the Lord and who has received his mercy. If one does not believe in the uncommon transcendental pastimes of the Lord, he is vanquished, both in this world and in the next. Whatever I have stated about the beginning of Lord Chaitanya's movement should also be understood to hold for as long as the Lord toured South India. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the holy place known as Kurmakshetra, he saw the deity and offered prayers and obeisances. While at that place, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in his usual ecstasy of love of Godhead and was laughing, crying, dancing and chanting. Everyone who saw him was astonished. After hearing these wonderful occurrences, everyone came to see him there. And when they saw the beauty of the Lord and his ecstatic condition, they were all struck with wonder. Just by seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone became a devotee. They began to chant Krishna and Hari and all the holy names. They all were merged in great ecstasy of love, and they began to dance, raising their arms. Always hearing them chant the holy names of Lord Krishna, others also became Vaishnavas in those villages. By hearing the holy name of Krishna, the entire country became Vaishnava. It was as if the nectar of the holy name of Krishna overflooded the entire country. After some time, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his external consciousness, a priest of the Lord Kurma deity gave him various offerings. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mode of preaching has already been explained, and I shall not repeat the explanation. In whichever village the Lord entered, his behavior was the same. In one village, there was a Vedic Brahmana named Kurma. He invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home with great respect and devotion. The Brahmana brought Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home, washed his lotus feet, and with his family members drank water. The Kurma Brahman, with great affection and respect, made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eat all kinds of food. After that, the remnants were shared by the members of the family. The Brahmana then began to pray, "O my Lord, your lotus feet are meditated upon by Lord Brahma, and these very lotus feet have come into my home. My dear Lord, there is no limit to my great fortune. It cannot be described. Today, my family, birth, and riches have all been glorified." The Brahmana begged Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "My dear Lord, kindly show me favor and allow me to go with you. I can no longer tolerate the waves of misery caused by materialistic life." Sound familiar? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Don't speak like that again. Better to remain at home and chant the holy name of Krishna always." Famous verse, Yari Deka Tarikaha Krishna Upadesh, instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That's a little embellishment. Krishna Upadesh. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further advised the Brahmana, Kurma, "If you follow this instruction, your materialistic life at home will not obstruct your spiritual advancement. Indeed, if you follow these regulative principles, we will again meet here. Or rather, you will never lose my company. At whosoever's house, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted his alms by taking prasad, he would convert the dwellers to his Sankirtan movement and advise them just as he advised the Brahmana named Kurma." While on his tour, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would spend the night at a temple or on the roadside. Whenever he accepted food from a person, he would give him the same advice as he gave to the brahmana named Kurma. He adopted this process until he returned from the South India tour to Jagannath Puri. Thus, I have described the Lord's behavior elaborately in the case of Kurma. In this way, you will know Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dealings throughout South India. Thus, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will remain at night at one place, and the next morning, after bathing, start again. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, the brahmana Kurma followed him a great distance. But eventually Lord Chaitanya took care to send him back home. There was also one brahmana named Vasudeva, who was a great person, but was suffering from leprosy. Indeed, his body was filled with living worms. Although suffering from leprosy, the brahmana Vasudeva was enlightened. As soon as one worm fell from his body, he would pick it up and place it back again in the same location. Then, one night, Vasudeva heard of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival, and in the morning, he came to see the Lord at the house of Kurma. When the leper Vasudeva came to Kurma's house to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was informed that the Lord had already left. The leper then fell to the ground unconscious. When Vasudeva, the leper brahmana, was lamenting due to not being able to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord immediately returned to that spot and embraced him. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched him, both the leprosy and his distress went to a distant place. Indeed, Vasudeva's body became very beautiful to his great happiness. The brahmana Vasudeva was astonished to behold the wonderful mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he began to recite a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Touching the Lord's lotus feet, he said, this is Sudama, Brahman, speaking to Krishna, 10th Canto, chapter 81. Who am I, a sinful, poor friend of a Brahmana? And who is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in six opulences? Nonetheless, he has embraced me with his two arms. The brahmana Vasudeva continued, "Oh, my merciful Lord, such mercy is not possible for ordinary living entities. Such mercy can be found only in you. Upon seeing me, such, even a sinful person goes away due to my bad bodily odor. Yet you have touched me. Such is the independent behavior of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Being meek and humble, the brahmana Vasudeva worried that he would become proud after being cured by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To protect the brahmana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised him to chant the Hare Krishna mantra incessantly. By so doing, he would never become unnecessarily proud. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also advised Vasudeva to preach about Krishna. Again, Krishna Upadeshi Kara Jivera Nishtara. Preach about Krishna and thus liberate living entities. As a result, Krishna would very soon accept him as his devotee. After thus instructing the Brahmana, Vasudeva, in that way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from that place. Then the two Brahmanas, Kurma and Vasudeva, embraced one another and began to cry, remembering the transcendental qualities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus I have described how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reclaimed the leper Vasudeva and so received the name Vasudeva Amrita Prada. Thus I end my description of the first tour of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his visiting the temple of Kurma and his liberating the leper Brahmana Vasudeva. One who hears these pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great faith will surely very soon attain the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I hope you heard. With faith. I admit that I do not know the beginning nor the end of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. However, whatever I have written, I have heard from the mouth of great personalities. O devotees, please do not consider my offenses in this regard. Your lotus feet are my only shelter. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. End of chapter 7. And coming attractions as Lord Chaitanya talks with Ramananda Roy. Just initially some appreciation of the beautiful composition of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. How to depict the transcendental pastimes of Lord Chaitanya properly. By empowerment, only is something like that possible. Before Krishna Das wrote, he was ordered to do so, and he was feeling himself not qualified to do so. So he went to the various Vaishnavas and requested their blessings, and they showered their blessings. Again, they ordered him, please write. And he's at such an old age, he writes, I don't know if I'll be able to complete this writing, but just on the order I'm writing, carrying the orders of superior personalities as Krishna Das, although he himself was the superior personality, but he was feeling himself otherwise. The literature was, it's incredible. He's describing three times in this chapter the method of Lord Chaitanya's preaching. The method of Lord Chaitanya's preaching was, he himself was tasting the Krishna through chanting, and as others were amazed at that, he would then impart that same unto them and instruct them. Please go back to your village and give this to others, and then the domino effect would follow. Then again, he instructed Kurma So that's taking one person out of the many persons and focusing on the one person. And with Kurma, very qualified person, but was so inspired, transcendentally enlivened, that he considered his involvement in his worldly affairs as a elevated Brahmin to be distasteful. Let's read the verse again. I can no longer tolerate the waves of misery caused by materialistic life. But he was very elevated. He was extremely qualified with learning, with good qualities, with riches, with family, things that worldly people chase after their whole lifetime. He was there. And he considered it waves of misery. No, he wasn't like a whining, complaining kind of person. He was recognizing that's not what real happiness is. One may, in his case, do those things, but recognize the real happiness is something far superior. I had a discussion last night after the program with one person who, in a similar way, but has a wonderful career and a wonderful this and a wonderful that, and there's this pinch in the heart. Something's missing. The classic. It's always like that. If one is tuned in a little bit and not simply overwhelmed with pride. I have this, I have that, and I'm going to get some more of those, and then I'll be, and continue to chase the illusion. But a really qualified person understands. So the desire of, this is the grain of rice in the pot of rice, is a sample to show what Lord Chaitanya's teaching was. He wanted to go with Lord Chaitanya and give up the waves of misery and materialistic life. And Lord Chaitanya said, don't speak like that again. Rather, same as the verse that Lord Chaitanya accepted in the next chapter from Ramananda Roy, stay in your position. Don't become attached to the material circumstance of your life, but absorb yourself in the topics of hearing and discussing Krishna Katha. And in this way, this is the means as well as the end of perfection, because the means carries you to the end. And you, so your consciousness can become purified by that. That's Lord Chaitanya's teaching. And Kurma heard. Still he wanted to go with Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya told him, go back. And by this method, by staying in this village, then following this process, your materialistic life won't touch you, and you will liberate other people. You'll be doing good for yourself and doing good for others at the same time. It's the proper means for a householder. An improper means for the householder is common. Oh, it's miserable, let me give it up. Where are you going to go? You go to another situation that's miserable. because tendencies come out, and when the roots are going to grow, and then you'll some other abomination, because it's not suited. If it's not suited, if it's properly suited, then one can carry on. Anyway, and then Vasudev, the miracle cure. You could build a religion just around Lord Chaitanya's curing Vasudev. There are other religions that are built around miracle cures, so why not? But the real glory of Lord Chaitanya is not the miracle cure from a leper to a beautiful body. Ta-da! But love of God. And love of God in such a way, same. Teach others to chant the holy name. And to free yourself from pride, from having received something very special, stay in this position of constant chanting. Because how can you stay in the position of constant chanting unless there's humility? Trinadapi sunichena kirtaniya sadahari. Without humility, you can't kirtaniya sadahari. So take the instruction to always chant, and the asset that accompanies that one is stay very humble. The tendency in material existence is to become proud over nothing. Or a little, whatever little something, and we become proud of that little something, and it's just material life is insidious. Then you want that little something to grow and become another bigger something. And then become proud of that, and just proud of being humble. So there has to be some real shelter. And Lord Chaitanya, this is a very nice chapter, because it's beginning the whole South India tour. It's laying the foundation for all of what he did, so that Krishna Das did not present what happened to the next village, next village, next village, next village, but we can understand by his words, it was everywhere. This is what Lord Chaitanya did. And it's what Lord Chaitanya then advised those that we came in contact with. And similarly, we've come in contact with those who have come in contact with those who have come in contact with Lord Chaitanya. And the message applies to us equally. So one could say, Prabhupada would refer to this, people would say, oh, I'm not so fortunate. Like with Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was there directly with Krishna, and Krishna imparted transcendental knowledge to Arjuna. That's never going to happen to me. So, woe is me. And then Prabhupada would say, no, that's not correct. That when Krishna speaks to Arjuna, and then one who speaks what Krishna said to Arjuna, it's Krishna speaking. Do that again. When Krishna speaks to Arjuna, surrender unto me, and someone repeats, surrender unto Krishna, that's Krishna speaking. That's how this miraculous or mystical or very, very powerful disciplic succession works. And without disciplic succession, what do you have? You have another version of the material energy, however sophisticated. How is one going to get out of material existence through the agency of material existence? Even it's got Krishna's name there somewhere. Yes, there's benefit. But at the same time, if one doesn't have a clear sense of what shelter is, who is Krishna properly, all kinds of things can happen, and lo and behold, all kinds of things happen in this world. So hearing in this method of disciplic succession is critical for all of us. Critical for all of us. And then taking that and presenting, just as Lord Chaitanya's instruction, and this way save the land. I'll end with this. There's in our GBC meetings, we have 4 days twice a year of strategic planning. It's nice sounding, but it's very nice, very wonderful way of practicing Krishna consciousness, thinking of how we'd like to have a better Krishna consciousness society. More devotees, happier devotees. That's our motto. More devotees, happier devotees. So one of the things that we do at the beginning of each meeting is there's a reading. Lakshmi Moni has taken on this service of, she explained to me, she spends hours and hours and hours for each day's readings taking things that Prabhupada has said on different themes and stitching together a reading on that particular theme. So one of them, this meeting we just had in Bombay, was kindly help me. Very nice. Where Prabhupada is appealing, much like this Leela here of Lord Chaitanya, of how Lord Chaitanya spread Krishna consciousness or brought Vaishnavism throughout all the land, was some persons became Vaishnavas and then those persons were instructed to make others Vaishnavas. They were empowered by that instruction to do so, infused with bhakti by Lord Chaitanya and the instruction to carry out that service. So Prabhupada is appealing in this way that what can one person do? And therefore I require so many persons to help me. And you're very kindly coming forward and helping me, so I'm indebted to you. Humble mood, but it's he who is empowering those to help him by directly the appeal to please help me. What can one person do? Huge task. This is Lord Chaitanya, exactly Lord Chaitanya's mood. And one who takes that appeal to the heart becomes empowered. And that empowerment means beyond one's own limited capacity, one can do things. This issue of faith mentioned by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is very important. For one who has implicit faith in the instructions of the spiritual master, this is the key to success in spiritual life. Because the instruction is there for everyone. There it is. We all heard it. And when there's faith in Lord Chaitanya, then that which is impossible becomes possible. He writes elsewhere, one who has faith in Lord Chaitanya, a blind man can see the stars in the sky. How is that possible? A lame man can climb a mountain. You ever try to climb a mountain? What to speak of being lame? You climb a set of stairs. Climb a mountain? A layman can climb a mountain? A fool can understand the conclusive truths of the Vedas, when great scholars can't. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, one who has such faith, can the impossible becomes possible. To bring love of God, Krishna consciousness into the lives of worldly people. What a task. But it becomes possible by that empowerment to do so, and faith in the empowerment to do so. It's not without a struggle, perhaps. We see in Prabhupada's life, there was struggle. But there was empowerment, and so it was successful. Struggle is part of the happiness of Krishna consciousness, life, service. If everything was easy, we just take it for granted. That would be our common response. And when it's not easy, that's okay too. Different opportunities for serving Krishna. So, nice section from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Any discussion? Comments? Yes?
In devotional service, many times I receive so many gifts, and when I receive at that moment, somehow I this remembrance of instruction that it's causeless mercy comes, but there is so much chances for becoming proud. I have like two questions for us. One is how to, what should I remember or what should I do to prevent that prideful tendency? And the second thing is, if it comes,
then what should I do to stop? Hit the reset button. A short answer is there's no substitute for purity. So the opposite is, as long as there's impurity, then what you described is what's going to happen. And then we suffer, and we don't like to suffer, and so then we start moving towards purity, and then when we feel better, that we become complacent, and the purification process slackens. So do that enough times, and then perhaps the light will come on that says I should just stay striving for purity. Because as soon as I become slackened or inattentive, all this other impurity comes in. And I suffer, I don't like to suffer. So, no substitute for purity. Stay in a humble position. Strive to always stay in a humble position. And a humble position doesn't just mean your head is bowed down and take beatings from the material energy and other people and just keep doing that. The turn the other cheek kind of humility. Rather, humility is real humility is an understanding of what our position in relation to Krishna is. In relation to Krishna, we're tiny. And Krishna is the supreme great. Therefore, we should always serve him. That's Krishna consciousness. So stay in that position. Continue to regard Krishna, and you're humble. And you regard Krishna, that's the place of purity, because he's the supreme pure. In contact with the supreme pure, you become pure and stay pure. Turn your attention away from Krishna by negligence or inattention or other things. Contamination is there. Turn your attention to turn away from light and there's darkness. Immediately, there's no delay. Immediately, So there's no substitute for purity. In relation to Krishna, I'm very tiny. I'm dependent. So to prevent pride, look to Krishna. Krishna, you're all great. Just as Vasudeva is saying, Kurma was saying, you whose lotus feet are meditated upon by Lord Brahma have come to my home. And now everything I have is now, the purpose of it is fulfilled. So, when there's some mercy that comes, some kindness, something comes into your life, what's the reason for that? Someone is merciful, and behind that someone is Krishna. Krishna is merciful. So you look to the source where that mercy is coming from, and you don't become proud. I've received something very valuable. Let me see that this valuable something is used very carefully in service to Krishna. And in that mood of service, where's the pride? You're protected. You're protected by the mood of humble service. You're protected by the mood of service of acting out of love. You're protected by love. That's nice. Here's something, let me use this in the service of the object of love. Until we're there, we're going to go through what you described. And when you see that happens, oh, I became proud again. You hit the reset button. You go back to a basic position. What's my real position? My real position is I'm very tiny. And I have this tendency for being selfish and proud and so forth and so forth. Krishna. Something? Yes? Volume up.
Coming in next to her question, in your lecture right now, you read from Chaitanya Charitamrita that after showering his mercy on Vasudeva Brahmana, Lord Chaitanya was concerned that he should not become overly proud.
Vasudeva was concerned like that, not Lord Chaitanya was concerned like that. He says, Vasudeva says, and then Lord Chaitanya said, this is what you should do. Okay? Something else? Yes? We have people in the back of the room that if you don't project your voice, they won't hear your question.
Older people.
Who's hearing you are going.
So one part was coming repeatedly to me, like, while the mercy from you and all the devotees is abundant and pure, and I'm recognizing like there are so many impurities, pride and everything, but yet I'm feeling like I am the real recipient of your mercy. This pretension is...
It's the same thing as what she's saying. Just another version. It's the same dance. Just a different melody. The same answer. Stay in the humble position. And what does that mean? Look to Krishna. What is Krishna? What am I? Immediately checks pride. Yes.
Maharaj, what is the, in the context of the modern life, What does it mean chanting without cessation?
I mean, how do you keep your job if you go to the workplace and you're sitting at your workplace and you're just saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, the guy says, what are you doing? I'm chanting incessantly, so I won't become proud. See you later, Bob. I had a godbrother whose name was Ushik, and he left his body walking along the street constantly chanting. He was, when speaking with you, he would, you know, speak as he's speaking now and inhaling you as Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And to answer your question, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, my advice would be Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It was nerve-wracking. He would do that in, not sometimes, but all the time. But he had faith in the, you know, incessant chanting. So I wouldn't recommend that model is how to apply what Lord Chaitanya instructs. As circumstances permit, as you said, given the modern context of our lives, we have regulated times that we chant, and then aside from those chanting on beads regulated times, if you absorb yourself in chanting, the mantra will come to your mind and you'll surprise yourself sometimes. You'll just, the melody is there of kirtan and you're singing in your mind. Or singing softly aloud as you're moving between this and that. And that becomes the life of the devotee in appropriate circumstances. That's a short answer. It's the foundation upon which our life is built. So whatever else is there, that is an extension of that. One example that comes to mind is Prabhupada's comment. Braj Bihari will appreciate this. In the construction of the Krishna Balaram Mandir guest house, this is something that Guru Kripa told me. They had something like, my memory serves me right, 300 workers going round the clock in shifts, building that structure, because Prabhupada wanted it done. And the devotees were thinking during class time they should stop, and Prabhupada said, no, that is also kirtan. And, you know, 300 workers building something can be noisy, distracting. That is also kirtan. In that sense, when we're doing something, that's the consciousness behind it, is that it's for Krishna, the thought of Krishna is there, that's also kirtan. In a broader sense than. Okay. Something else? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Srila Rampana Maharaj.